I could see the mic button. I think she knows me well enough. I had glasses on, so I don't know why. Happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. I was going to say, after that offering message, I think we could have went home because that was amazing. And the worship, Nicole, I was so blessed by it. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I always feel so blessed when Pastor asks me to come and speak. And with it being so close to Valentine's Day, I figured, why not? Let's do a message on love. And so when I was thinking about doing the message on love, I was trying to ask God what he wanted me to share. And he really just kept impressing upon my heart that he wanted people to understand his love better. And this is a little bit of an emotional message for me just because that's something that he's been working in my heart with. So if I tear up or cry, just pretend I'm like laughing or something and just laugh at me, and then it'll make me not cry anymore, okay? So I was going to talk to you tonight about the greatest love. And it's not Romeo and Juliet. It cannot be found in a Hallmark movie, as much as I love those. In fact, it can't really be found anywhere here on earth. It is God's love for us, if you haven't guessed that already. And the verse that we all know well about God's love is John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Before I go any further, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this night, and I thank you for each person that is here. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Father God, and that everybody would be blessed by your message. In your name I pray. Amen. So since God created man, he has known our deepest and our darkest sins. He knew our ways, our weaknesses, everything good and bad about us, and he even knows our thoughts. And for me, that can be scary. But regardless, he loves it all. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So even though he knew us deeply, that is why he sent his son Jesus to the earth to die for us. But if you could even imagine, and I'm sure many of you have taken the time to try to, what that would have been like to know that God loved us enough to send his son to be beaten and bruised and killed by the people that he loved. And to me, that really, like, just to think about that and think about what that means, just, I could have been done, you know, at that point. That's good message. But he says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it doesn't say after we stop sinning or after we have everything all together, after we are perfect, then he will love us. But it was while we were still sinners. And the Bible is very clear about how much God loves us. But that's just the beginning. You see, his love was not meant to end there. It wasn't meant to end with you and I. It was meant to continue on in and through each one of us to others, and then in and through them to even more, and in and through them to even more. So in that sense, we play a part in the greatest love. And to be effective in our role of the greatest love, we need to learn to accept God's love. So you see, when things aren't quite going our way in the world or in our lives the way that we thought that they would go, we tend to doubt Christ's love for us, right? And we would say, we've been taught since we were young, God loves you. Jesus loves you. We all know the song, "Jesus loves little children." It's ingrained in my brain. I know it. So I would never deny, ever, with my voice, even with my thoughts, I would never deny that Christ doesn't love me. However, when I'm going through a tough time, as I think it's all the same with everyone, we start to doubt his love for us. And we doubt that love in different ways. Except we need to learn to accept God's love for what it is. And not just hold on to his love. And I think a lot of the times we find ourselves holding on to it like it's something instead of accepting it like it's ours. And the difference between that is when you accept something, you take it as your own. But when you hold on to something, you're holding on to it and you can put it down, or you could give it away, or you could give it back. And sometimes when we're really hard on ourselves, that happens to me a lot. I have very high expectations. When I don't meet those expectations, I get discouraged. I start to feel defeated. When I feel defeated, that's when the doubt comes in. And the doubt doesn't come in as God doesn't love me, because I know that's not to be true. Instead, it comes into, I thought God was good. I thought he was going to be my provider. I thought he was going to be my protector. Why does it feel like he's not faithful? And that translates to God's love, because God is good. God is a provider. He is your protector. He's your defender. But when we doubt those things about him, we're doubting his love. So we're actually taking his love and putting it down. We're not accepting it for ourselves. Or we're taking his love and we're giving it back. Not because he's asking for it back, but because we're thinking we're not deserving of it. Daisies. I love daisies, don't you? Do you remember when, I don't know, some of you ladies, when you were a little girl, what did you do with a daisy? He loves me. He loves me not. I don't know if you guys can figure out where I'm going with this, but he loves me. He loves me not. And depending on how many petals there were in a daisy, which I think they're all different, when you got to the end, that would be the deciding factor, right? Whether you were loved or whether you weren't. This is the kind of relationship that we have with God, with God's love, because this is what we do when we're going through tough times. He loves me not. When life is good, he loves me. We don't say it with our words, but we say it with our thoughts. We say it with our feelings. And that's not the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. He wants to have a love relationship with us where that love is accepted and kept and never given back. So life is like a roller coaster, right? We get ups and downs and twists and turns. There's nothing you can do about that, all right? That's just the way life is. But if we're doubting God's love based on our circumstances, we are like those terrified people on a roller coaster. Have you ever seen them? Okay, so if you don't know if you are a terrified person on a roller coaster, let me clarify this for you, okay? If when you're on a roller coaster, your hands are over your eyes are shut tight as they can possibly be, and after the ride stops, you get off, and you think you peed a little, you are a terrified person on a roller coaster. All right? I actually rode with one of them. I'm not going to disclose who it was, but I did ride with one of them. That is not the way that God wants us to be in life. He doesn't want us to be like a terrified person on a roller coaster. He wants us to be the person that is moving with the turns, eyes wide open, taking it all in, never doubting him, being steady, keeping it going, never looking back. That's what God wants from us. And that when we're steady, when we take God's love and we accept it for ours and we keep it, then we know for a fact that God's love is not dependent on life's circumstances or feelings. Keeping ourselves steady and unswayed by our circumstances takes training and practice, though. It's by being sure that we are not going to allow anything to cause us to doubt God's love. And in doing this, that deals with the mind. So by controlling the thoughts that make us unsteady, fearful, and doubtful, that's how we can gain that acceptance and take that and keep it for ourselves. So you do this by acknowledging the thought. When you have it, you acknowledge it. When we're tempted to doubt God, his goodness, his grace, stop it in its tracks right then and there. Don't even give it a second. And then you speak truth. Speak who God is in your life. You're my provider. You're my healer. Speak what he has done for you. You brought me out of sin. You cleansed me. You made me righteous. Speak the blessings he's poured over your life. I do this all the time. God, you gave me my family. You gave me my church. You gave me friends that care about me. You gave me people that would support me. And then number three, repeat. Each and every time a thought comes in. Because we don't ever want to be given God's love back. We want to keep it for ourselves. By knowing the truth and training our minds to accept, believe, and live it out, we will then have accepted God's love and be able to take the next step in the greatest love. Matthew 22, 38, and 39 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So, as you could probably have guessed, accepting God's love helps us to give other people love. Jesus showed us how to love while he was on earth. He loved everyone, the rich, the poor, the sick, the healthy, the demon-possessed, the prostitutes, the young, the old, even the religious people. He was not a respecter of persons. I know today it can seem like a difficult task because sometimes when you look at other people, the differences seem so big. And you just go like, how do I even do this? How do I even relate to that person? How do I even begin to show love? They won't even look at me. They won't even talk to me. I experienced this. Usually when I show love to somebody, I get a little bit back, right? You do. You get a little response. But it's really hard to love someone when you get nothing back. Because, for one, it's awkward, right? It is. It's awkward. And it makes you want to do what? See you later. You know, you don't want to go back. And that's, but that's the way it's going to be. And we just have to get to the point to where we're ready to step beyond that and allow it to go a little bit further. So how do we do this? Number one, show up. I'm going to be really transparent with you. I've asked God to show me how to love people the way that he loves people, to see them how he sees them, to be able to see past the persona or the appearances and the attitudes that people put off. And when I went out to do it, I felt like I failed. Like, it seemed forced, you know? It didn't seem like it came natural. I like things that come natural. They come natural, it's easy for me. It's something that I can really connect with people who can connect back with me. That's easy. But if someone doesn't know how to connect with me, then it's hard to make that connection. So I felt like I couldn't relate to them. And if you notice, the word I keep saying, I felt, I felt, I felt. And if we continue on based on how we feel, we're not going to be effective because we have to be able to get past the feelings. So I asked God that. I felt like I failed. But you know what? God was okay with that. He was okay with that because all he asked me to do was to show up. All he wanted me to do was to be there, be willing to love others, knowing that I'm not able to do it in my own power, but when I am being obedient and taking actions, when he directs me, he will do the rest. Number two is to be faithful. When you're faithful in the little things. I used to hear that all the time, and I used to think, Yeah, okay, when I'm faithful in the middle, little things, you know, then he'll give me bigger things. I got that. I'm not a person that wants to be the center of attention. I know it probably doesn't look like that right now, but I'm really not. So I'm okay being faithful in the little things. I'm okay blending into the background and you know, just having nobody notice me. But when you're faithful in those little things, it really does make a difference. You don't have to play an important role. Just saying hello and smiling is enough to allow the Holy Spirit to make a difference in a person. Just smile. I'm sure all of you have beautiful smiles. And that, it's amazing what a smile will do to somebody's day and how it would make them feel inside. But also, it starts to break down barriers. Remain steady, number three. Be aware of your emotions. His design for us is to take his love and accept it and to show it to others so that they can see how wonderful it is and pass it on. If we look like we're struggling in life all the time, if we're down and we're walking around defeated and we're saying, my God is good, but this happened today, you know, I don't know. My God provides. Yep, he does. And I don't know, I don't have money for groceries this week, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and, you know, I'm sleeping in my car. You know, it's those kind of things. If God is doing things in your life and you truly believe that he provides, you truly believe that he is good, you truly believe that he's merciful, you need to reflect that back. Because when you reflect that back, that's when people are going to see, hey, wait a minute, I want to know who her God is. I want to know where she's going to church. I want to get to know why she's so happy when things are so bad. That's when people, that's the witness. That's what God needs from us. And that's when we fully accept that love that he gives us and we keep it. Because Satan, he wants you to be down and out because he doesn't want anybody to know anything about your God. Number four, be judgment-free. This is a big one. This was hard for me. Not because I'm a judgmental person, because I'm not really. My heart truly is to love other people. But it's more because differences between people make things uncomfortable. And so when you are uncomfortable or when you feel awkward, it makes you appear judgmental. It just does. And that may not be what you're intending to put off, but that could be what you're putting off. So be careful not to think that somebody's being judgmental if you're not sure. But 1 Corinthians 13:4 describes love as being patient and kind. It doesn't boast, envy. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. That's a tall order, but that's love. And if we're going to show God's love, we have to do our best to try to not be judgmental of other people. And that can be tough. But you know what? There's good news, because it doesn't have to be just you trying, because if it's just you trying, chances are it's not going to work. God has got your back. You're not going to do it in your own power, and that's one of the things that I think God really showed me, is that I kept feeling like I was failing because I kept feeling like I was doing it in my own power. Be faithful. I already said be faithful in little things, but I had to go back to that because I missed something in my notes. And I think it's really important for you to hear. Every day that you are faithful, so being faithful means showing up It means somebody can count on you. Okay? So when you're being faithful, every day that you're faithful, it's like chipping away at what Satan is doing. Each time you show up in someone's life, another notch is taken out, and that person is being sculpted into a new creation. And that really stuck with me because I've been going to the Tuesday night's activity night. And I've been trying to go every Tuesday. And it's hard to make connections with people there for me. I connect with the kids well. I try to connect with adults. Sometimes it's hard because we don't really have a lot in common. They don't know me. They don't want to know me, you know. But being faithful, just showing up, they see my face. They see my smile. They hear my friendly hello week after week. And I just know that the Holy Spirit is just chipping away every time. And that person is becoming a new creation. And we're not going to see that. We're not going to see those little chips. We're not going to see the little differences. And you have to be really careful not to get caught up in the fact that you don't see it, because then you're going to think you're not making a difference. And that's going to discourage you, and it's going to make you want to walk away. But God's design is for us to be faithful and not walk away. God's design is for His love to go through us and then for us to project it out onto other people. And if we're not going to be faithful, if we're not going to show up, and if we're not going to remain steady, it's not going to happen through us. And I don't know about you, I want God to use me. I want lives changed because of my obedience and what I've done and my faithfulness. The last one, and this is, I'm closing on this one. I know it's a little early. Be obedient. God does it all through us. We just have to be that open vessel, being willing to be poured out. And, you know, it's not always easy. It's not easy to be poured out in front of people. It's not easy to be transparent. It's tough. But His purpose is for us to share the love that He gives so He can start something new in someone else. And we never know how He's going to do it, so you need to be ready. This Daisy. In the terms of loving others, if we were steady in accepting God's love for ourselves, instead of being focused on the He loves me not Daisy, which is being focused on ourselves, right? Inward. We are confident in God's love for us regardless of our circumstances, so we are focused on God. It would be like this. I'm actually going to come off the stage. Whoa, this is new for me. He's my provider. So I'm going to provide when you need it. He's my redeemer. So I'm going to redeem you when you've done wrong. He's my defender. So I'm going to have your back. He's my protector. So when I can, I'm going to protect you. He's gracious. So you know what I'm going to do? When you need it, I'm going to extend grace. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be ready. Not back and forth, not up and down, steady and ready to be able to finish what He's asking us to do. Because without us, those people may not hear. God's love for us is just the beginning. In John 13:34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, It doesn't say that you have to shout from the rooftop, "I love Jesus." That'd be great, you know, but it does not what you have to do. You have to love one another. You have to show the love. It's not meant to end with you and I. It's meant to continue on in and through you and I. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for taking something we see so difficult and making it so simple. I pray that as we go on our way, that your love will continue to shine through me and through everyone here, and it would continue to make an impact in other people's lives. I thank you for the blessings that you have poured out on us, Lord, and I just pray that we would just take a hold of your love and never let it go, never doubt it, and be steady. In your name I pray. Amen.
Yeah, come on. Just stay up here. You had touched a little bit on how obviously God's working through us, right? And so what I feel like a lot of times what happens is we're unable to love others because we haven't truly accepted the love that God has for us. We think, how can he possibly love me? You know, we know ourselves better than, you know, anyone in the room. And so we often stop ourselves from truly accepting God's love in our lives. And that's stopping us from truly being able to love the people that are around us, even though we really want to. But God says in his word, he says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." There's nothing that you can do that will make him love you any less. And there's nothing you can do that will make him love you anymore. And so I just wanted, Cheryl, if you can stand down front. If you have a hard time, maybe you're at that place where you're just like, I want to love others. I want God's love to shine through me. But maybe you're just having that hard time just accepting that God truly loves you for who he created you to be. Before you leave tonight, stop down here. Amy, will you come up and pray too? Brad, will you come on up? And just have someone pray for you that you're truly able to see that God has your best interest in mind, that God has this Daisy in mind for you, that no matter what you're going through, he's your provider, he's your protector, he has grace for you in every situation that you have. So before you leave tonight, just come down front and get prayer over for that. On your way out, Malachi, if you'll go out in the back and show some love with them chocolate suckers out there. We have some treats for Valentine's Day. But didn't Cheryl do a beautiful job tonight? So I'm just going to pray one more time. And like I said, if you need some prayer for that, I really believe that you're just going to have some healing from that and really be able to accept God's love for you. Let's pray one more time. Would you stand with us? God, I thank you tonight for this message. I thank you for your messenger tonight. I thank you, God, that it came from a true heart of someone that really does love you and love others, God. And I just ask that tonight, God, that we're able just to open up our hearts and accept the love that you have for us so that we're able to truly show and shine your love to other people. I just ask that you bless every person here, God. Help us to walk in your love every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night.